Good morning. You've tuned into the morning show here on 88.5 KRFY on Thursday, September the 20th. I'm Jack, and that's Jim across from me, and we are here in the studio. We made it through the traffic on First Avenue, through the construction on First Avenue.
No, you can call it traffic. Those humongous machines are just running around like crazy.
And they're real busy down there. They get started early.
The building has been shaking. I was in my office that fronts First Avenue, and it was vibrating.
Yeah. Anyway, the construction update is that they have moved on, and now they are down this block and almost right in front of the KRFY studios.
Absolutely. You know what it reminds me of? When I was a little kid playing in a sandbox, I had all my little trucks and forklift loaders and dirt movers and stuff like that, and I had piles of sand, and I'd spend the afternoon moving them from one part of the sandbox to another. That's what it looks like out there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's these piles of rocks, and it looks just like grown-ups having fun.
It does look a little bit like fun. Actually, this morning, I wonder if they're running into some kind of deadline or if they're just getting ready for the weather or what, because they looked at least busy. A couple of them, yeah, real busy. A little, maybe getting a little frantic down there at 8 o'clock in the morning. But anyway, hey, here we are. Coming up today in studio, we have Marcy Timlin and Kimber Glidden from the Bonner County Library. Later on, we'll be joined by Paul Graves from the Geezer Forum, and
a full morning,
I'll say. Let me tell you about the weather first.
Are we going to have weather today, Jack?
We'll have weather today. We will have good September weather and almost October weather, really. It is 36 degrees currently here in Sandpoint. Partly sunny today with a high of 63 degrees, mostly cloudy, and then a slight chance of showers tonight, low down to 45 tonight. Chance of showers, and then mostly cloudy tomorrow with a high of 66. Chance of showers tomorrow night. Slight chance of showers on Saturday. Again, the high in the mid-60s through the weekend with about a 20 or 30% chance of showers forecast every day. So probably we are going to get some rain, but it's hard to say exactly when it'll hit.
Or
Monday.
Where. Or where.
Or where. And then on Monday, clearing up again in a high of 65. I just spoke to my mother last night in Minnesota.
Minnesota?
And they had like 90-degree weather over the weekend.
I talked with a cousin in northern Indiana. They were grousing about how hot it was and humid, and I'm sitting here sort of like saying to myself, do I want to share with them that our highs are like in the mid-60s and crisp nights and mild days? I thought not. Well, people feel bad enough about that anyway. I mean, but you got to admit, this time of year is wonderful. And let's introduce our two people with us. Marcy Timlin, a real regular. She is public relations, marketing, and community development. That's a mouthful, Marcy.
It is. I know. It's not easy.
It's not easy. And then with you is Kimber Glidden, and she doesn't have a title yet. So if you want to give Kimber, you know, a few of your words that you have.
Yeah. Kimber is brand new in her new role as the, basically she's a teen
services coordinator.
Are we going to go with that?
I think we're going to go with that. Yeah.
Anne's out of town, so we're just going to give her a name.
Okay. Yeah. Do I dare ask what a teen services coordinator does? Like, oh, I need water here. I'm on my computer. Or what do you do?
So with the expansion of the library, we now have a teen lounge. And we are looking at developing our teen programs again. So that would be, our demographic would be that 7th to 12th grader. And so we're open after school in the teen lounge. So I am in there with them, homework help. We have gaming systems in there. So the kids get to come in and hang out and decompress and socialize in like that less than standard structured classroom library, be quiet sort of atmosphere. And then we will be introducing programs as I, you know, fit into my new role a little bit more.
Now, is the room open before throughout the entire day, or does it just open when the teens get out of school?
So at this time for the teens, it is open from about 2:30 to 5:30, except for Wednesdays when they have early release. Then we're open at 1:30. That room can be booked at other times for other community events. Or Suzanne, our youth services person, she also has events in there before that time.
I like that use of the word release. on Wednesdays, they get early release. Mm-hmm. It sounds like they've been incarcerated or something.
at least they probably feel that way.
They do feel that way.
Well, I remember when I was in high school, I thought I was, mm-hmm. you know, when I got early release. Can you talk a little bit more, Kimber, for somebody who's not familiar with, let's say, parents who are listening, in terms of what this new facility at the library offers?
Sure. So how I start the day off, maybe that would be a good way to go about it, just kind of how I try to structure the day when they get in there. So they come in after school. I have snacks and I offer like a place for them to come in and do homework. I always ask everybody, how was your day? Did you learn anything fun in school? Do you have homework? Shall we get that done? Have a snack.
No fun until you get them done.
That's right. You know, okay. I mean, the reality is, you know. And then I have music playing in there. Sometimes I have like extreme ski videos going, things like that, just so it's kind of that cool vibe. Kids actually love mm-hmm. to have a little bit of background noise when they are, you know, doing their homework. And then we move on to gaming. The kids can hang out. I don't have a limit as to how much time they can spend there. They can be there the whole time.
What is the whole time? I forgot the hours. It begins about 2:30.
About 2:30, right after school, until about 5:30.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at this time, and those hours could expand, you know. But for right now, that's where we're at.
Okay. Yeah. And this is 5 days a week.
Right now, it is Monday through Thursday.
Monday
through Thursday. Just because of my schedule being a little bit strange right now until we get some things ironed out and some more people hired at the library.
And nothing on weekends? Is that room closed at other times?
It is, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It would have to be booked to be used.
Okay, so one can go to the library's website to find out the hours?
No.
Not yet.
Okay.
So, talk to that marketing girl.
No. And back to you, Marcy.
Okay, we've just heard from the marketing person. Back to Kimber. I've oftentimes wondered about, you know, hours for different places in the library. And is that something on the drawing board, Marcy?
Well, it is now. Thank you. Yeah.
So how many kids do you see in the teen lounge? Is it usually the same faces every week or does it vary?
It has been a rapidly expanding program. Hold on to your hats, guys.
When was the first day?
September 4th. First day
September
of school.
September 4th. Mm-hmm. And I would wager word of mouth, would be, you know, that would, you know, where can you go for a snack? Yeah. Wouldn't you go check?
Yeah,
I mean, if I got out of school and I had all this pent-up energy, like, Kimber, I got my homework done. I did it while walking over here. I want snacks.
No. During homeroom. In homeroom. I got it done in homeroom.
But what a wonderful facility. So it's been since, what has been the response from the kids?
So opened on first day of school, so September 4th, with 18 kids. Yesterday, I had 50.
Wow. And what's capacity?
50. No. I had 25 in there at one time yesterday, and that was a full house. Okay. It almost looked it felt a little bit like it could start like a mosh pit. No. I like that. I'm doing the like up and down movement that nobody can see on the radio.
We did. Well, let me ask Marcy, is the response from the community to this new facility surprising the folks at the library?
You know, I get comments every single day about how beautiful it is, but also about how busy it is. We created all this space because we knew there was a need for it, and it's proven itself already. And it's so fun in there when you just come into the library and you see so many people sitting in the, you know, using the computers or sitting in the, we have a lot more just kind of free space for laptops and things like that now too. People are really grabbing onto all of the new things that we keep rolling out, and we're going to keep rolling stuff out for a while because we can only kind of handle one thing at a time. But And Kimber will talk some more about our technology. But yeah, I mean, people are just, it's like we've always had it. They're just jumping right into it and talking about how busy it is to us all the time. It's really great.
Oh, dear. Does this mean that we have to have another edition put onto the library?
Oh, no, not yet. Maybe someday, though.
You mentioned some programs as the ball gets rolling, as the word gets out about this wonderful facility at the library. What down the road do you imagine?
So the first thing that we're going to be rolling out is a drone course. So that's and we're going to ask for a little bit of a commitment for that, just because, you know, drone collateral has, you know, some definite inherent value to it. So we're going to be looking at about a 6-week program, starting with beginning drone usage all the way up to getting people introduced to the Pilot 107 license and what it takes to get that. Huge demand for that in the career field right now, and kids love it. If you've never taken a drone class, you will want to. They are fantastic. It's super fun.
How popular are drones among teenagers?
I would have to say right now, probably the most interest is in the drone program.
From your point of view, take a step back. Why do you think that? Why have drones captivated?
That is a fantastic question. And this is just probably from, you know, listening to kind of them talk and then my experience with drones. They are very interactive technology. So you are, it's very mechanical, very hands-on. And, there's that tinkering, and you're constantly, you know, working with them, and then you're flying them. The things you can see if they have the video capability. Ooh, and now they've even got the VR headsets. So you can actually put those on and have more of like that virtual reality. 3D looking through the drone's eye, which is huge. Some of them have follow me technology, so you can be go doing your cool stuff and your drone is videotaping you.
And how about the gender? Do you find more young males as opposed to females interested in drones?
You know, at this point, I would actually, yes, have to say that it's the boys, the males that are more interested in it. But I think some of that could just be that exposure to the actual technology, you know, saying, hey, no, this is really cool.
We're talking to Kimber Glidden, by the way, who is the newest employee of Bonner County.
I am not the newest. No, I've been there for a year now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I just took over. I just started out as library aide working at CERC desk and then in the technology department. And now I have taken over as teen services coordinator.
And she's doing an amazing job. We love her.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate her enthusiasm.
Yeah. I was just going to ask about your background. Where'd you come from?
I'm from Alaska.
I thought so.
Yeah. Is it the sweatshirt?
Yeah. Nobody else can see that.
Our listeners cannot see that.
Ski Alaska is on her her sweatshirt.
I'm from Kenai, Alaska, so the mighty Kenai River was on my back porch. Yeah.
Well, it sounds cool. I've never been to Alaska, and I have no idea where Kenai is.
It's on the road system, so that's nice.
Okay.
You can fly into Anchorage and then just drive there through the majestic Kenai Peninsula. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like with the drone program and the 6-week course is going to be hitting a lot of interests and a real need. I mean, the last thing we need is to be walking down the street and being hit by a drone.
Right. You want people with some expertise piloting those.
Some sense of responsibility, please. Mm-hmm. What would be some of the other programs that you imagine?
Sure. Yeah. So we also are going to start back up the Make It program, and I'm going to break Make It into a couple of different, I'll have a technology Make It, and then we'll have more of an art-based Make It. So that will be rolling out probably later in the year, I'm hoping like by December, so there's some of those programs available for school break, for Christmas break. And then... let's see. What are some of the other things we talked about, Mercy?
Well, we started VR.
And VR, that's right. So we have a virtual reality.
Ooh. You mean where you put a thing on your head and, ooh.
It is.
Want to go there?
You
should.
Yeah. We can go at off hours.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's not just for kids. That's for adults. So, and It's from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Wednesdays or
7.
Until 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. And then is it Tuesdays that we have? It's Tuesdays and Wednesdays, right?
Tuesdays and Wednesdays from 3 to 7.
Okay, mm-hmm. Gotcha.
So what's it like? Have you had one of those things on your head?
I have.
What's it like?
It's the weirdest experience. Very, very difficult to explain. But you are really immersed. The first that we have a program called Ocean Rift. So it's like you get to swim under the ocean. And I had done something interesting with the hand controllers and sunk into the ocean floor up to my chest. Which, even though I'm not really in the ocean floor up to my chest, you really find yourself like, Emily, I'm in the floor.
So is it best to do that sitting down or I would think standing up, you might lose your balance.
You can. It can be very disorienting. And that mm-hmm. is why when we have young people going into VR, if they're under 18, they do have to have parental consent.
Ah,
and if they are under 14, we need an adult
with them.
Yeah, it's almost like a sensory overload experience. And so we just want to make sure that the youth, when they're experiencing that, are safe. And we always encourage the parents, put that headset on so you know what they're experiencing and how that feels.
Now, is there a relationship between two headsets, two people doing, let's say, deep ocean? Would they see each other?
Yeah, you know, that's a fantastic question, and I bet in a different system, I bet you could
probably
do that,
could.
Or maybe in the augmented reality that you could do that. But in ours, no, it is one headset, one person. We do have a big TV screen in there, though, so you can see as the person is going through their VR experience where they're at and what they're doing. You just don't get the 3D. It's just like watching TV.
It's like two-dimensional for yes. people watching the television, but for the people with the headset on.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, Jack.
Yeah. Check it mm-hmm. out. It's really awesome.
Yeah. I've seen it. I've never been inside of it, but I've watched that TV.
I've seen yeah. people with those things on, yeah. and they're somewhere mm-hmm. else.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, right. It's kind of cool. I saw one. The most recent one I saw was on they had a balance beam or just a piece of wood on the floor that you're supposed to walk across. But in the game, you're suspended between two buildings over a city, and you're supposed to walk.
I don't think
this
I'd like
balance
that.
Beam.
I don't think I'd like
yeah.
that.
That's plank, and uh-huh. I've seen more than one person get down on the ground on their hands and knees.
I just have a vague question that maybe you guys want to speculate about, but I've just always noticed that the Bonner County Library has been very popular among teens. I mean, much more than when I was growing up hanging out at the library ever was. Do you think there's any particular reason for that? Is it just proximity to the high school? Is that the main attribute?
I think that's a huge part of it. When the library was downtown, it was popular. Mm-hmm. But it was, you know, I remember as a teenager and going to the library downtown, and there was like a table in the center of the library, and that's where you went. Even before we had the teen room, the kids felt like they had a safe place to go where they could just burn off steam and not have any, you know, structured activities that they had to participate in necessarily, but still get that social interaction. And so now we actually have a place for them. And we've always felt like we were sort of underserving them because they want to be there and we want to give them what they need. So we're just so thrilled that we're able to do that now.
Would you have gone to a place like that when you were in high school, Jack?
Well, I mean, there were libraries where I grew up. I just never, I mean, I went there to get a book, but that was it. I never hung out there.
I traveled by bus for about an hour each way to get to my school. I was across town. So, you know, I think what Marcy's saying is proximity to the high school. Mm-hmm. You know, you take just a short walk, and here you have an environment where you're affirmed, validated, it's safe, you're with your peers. What's there not to like about that? And you don't have to go home to listen to your parents to take out the trash, mow the lawn, you didn't clean up your bedroom. You know, I mean, you can go there and just be you,
mm-hmm.
except you have to do your homework.
Right.
You do have to do your homework.
You have to do your... Well, you know.
And the librarians there are very cool. I thought that that was why they came and hung out there.
It is. That's so true. Yeah, I was going to mention, too, just that something Kimber said to me the other day that I hadn't really ever thought of before. But, you know, when you go to school, you see your friends and the same kids and, you know, you're in that school role or whatever. And that's great, but you don't get a whole lot of time to hang out with your friends there. So,
right,
so it's nice
right.
to have the library for that. But the added bonus is you also get to meet kids from other schools or homeschooling kids. So it just totally expands your pool of friendships. And so that's a super cool thing about it.
And that has been fantastic because I do. So I have kids from SHS, SMS, and then I have the charter school kids coming
okay.
over. I've got
Excellent.
Homeschool kids. And
Excellent.
So they are this group of kids who don't really see each other a lot.
Who don't get the social aspect necessarily.
Mm-hmm. And they are interacting so well together. They are friendly. They are supportive. It's like I watch these kids. And like I said yesterday, they're were 50 of them that moved through there. And I'm like, there is hope for the future. Sandpoint is so well represented by our young people. It just actually made, you know, my heart feel all big.
Well, I'd sort of throw out to you that maybe after this has been in for maybe about 6 months or something, have a form that they could send home to their parents and see how the parents respond, knowing that their kids... they don't have to worry about them from 2:30 till 5 o'clock when they come in for dinner. That you know, I'd be very fascinated to see how parents are responding, knowing that there is a place where rather than going underneath the railroad tracks or something like that, you know, the bridges, you
yeah.
know, that sort of thing, that here is a place. And who knows, they might wander out of the teen room and discover another part of the library, like novels.
Whoa.
Ooh, what a concept. You know, that's, that sort of thing. You know, I would encourage you down the road to see if parents see a difference.
What a great idea.
It is a good idea, yeah. And we do get some parents who are like, so I hear this is going on.
Or, yes, exactly.
I have had one mother bring snacks, and she's like, thank you so much for, you know,
cool?
my son loves the snacks. And so great. I appreciate that support because teenagers can flat eat some food. So, you know, the donation
Absolutely.
For that was really appreciated.
We're here at 88.5 KRY. Jim and Jack, and we've been talking mm-hmm. with Kimber Glidden, who doesn't have a title yet, but she's leaning towards Teen Services Coordinator, and along with Marcy Timblin, Public Relations and Marketing and Community Development of the library. Marcy, what else is going on? How is what's been the response to the new space, and what are some of the wonderful things that are occurring? I know that we can read, every Friday in the newspaper, your wonderful column, Boy, and the Bonner Bee, Marcy does a bang-up job.
Oh, thanks. Well, I just basically report what's already going on, so I just tell the story. But, you know, it's kind of funny. Over the summer, we had such crazy schedules of programming for especially the under-18 group of people with summer reading and all that kind of stuff. So now, of course, Suzanne in our youth department, she is still tearing it up with lots of programs. In fact, today she has a brand new one. It's called an infant lap sit. So it's kind of an adult program because, you know, babies don't know what they're doing probably, but they're getting some literacy, and it's really great for the parents to be able to bring their little teeny babies. This isn't for toddlers, but they're little babies. At 10 a.m. they can come and do a story time with the real little ones. So that's new. But
That's a neat concept.
Yeah,
what,
it's,
holding
it's
the
cool.
Even before the child might have language skills or whatever, just simply.
Exactly.
Oh, two thumbs up on that one.
Yeah, I think it's great. And then we're doing a lot more with local author stuff, which I think is super cool. Mike Bauer is our adult program specialist.
Yay,
and
Mike.
Yeah,
Yay,
he
Mike.
Rocks. Well, of course, KRFY loves Mike. And we do too at
on
the library.
Thank you for letting us have him at 7 o'clock on a Saturday night.
Sure.
Thank you so much.
He's a busy guy. But he's been working a lot with the Idaho Writers League. And so they're going to be at the library tonight at 5:30. And they're starting a It's like every other Thursday, they're doing a writer's workshop. So all you writers out there, whether you just write in your journal or you blog or you are writing a book, whatever the case, you should come on by. Today's theme is going to be working with Tom Reppert. He's an author. And he'll be talking about developing your characters. So that'll be kind of cool. And then on Monday, we have Voter Registration Day coming up, which Mike is organizing that. And so if you have questions about how to vote or you want to get registered, you can do that at the library. And we'll be there all day. Both both the Clark Fork and Sandpoint branches will have volunteers there.
So you can go there and register?
You can actually register there.
Oh, actually register.
Yeah. Yep. So it'll be really cool. And then there will be volunteers there that can help answer questions.
If perfect.
You just, you know, so Kimber, we're really wanting to encourage young people to come and check that out, too. So you'll probably have a little part in that. Got a 3D printing class coming up. So more of our technology. This is like super beginner level, so don't be intimidated by it if you don't have a coding background or whatever. But you can do some really great things with 3D printing. And so, and it's great for your resume.
Interesting. I'll just dovetail on that. We've been tracking the statistics of who shows up for the 3D printing class, and the kids get a lot of exposure to that when they're in school. So really only about 4% of all of the students who sign up for that are kids. It's almost all adults who come into that, and they are very interested in 3D printing. And now we have got 2 3D printers at the Sandpoint Library. So strongly, you know, don't, like Marcy said, don't be intimidated. Swing by and check it out. It's really cool.
For sure. And we have one out at the Clark Fork Library too. And yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny because sometimes you'll see people, it's like their date night.
Home Depot like, right or on, the I library.
So, and then in October, we have a lot more, you know, author kind of things going on. We start our Native Heritage Film Series in October. So we're excited to be working with the Idaho Myth Weaver on that again this year. And take a look at our events calendar on www.ebonnerlibrary.org and check out all of our events that are coming up. We also have coming up in October some other writer's workshops and an author experience and book signing, a candidates forum, and we also have the Youth Safety in a Digital World. And that is really geared for parents. If you're 13 and older, you can come to that. But we really want to try to reach parents with that message of how, you know, not a scary message, but just letting parents know how they can protect their kids from digital dangers.
Wow, what a schedule. You know, I cannot speak highly enough of all of the different programs. But I think we might have done a disservice if we don't. Where is it located?
Oh, yes. So we're at 1407 Cedar Street. And it actually is, you know, on Division Street. And so we're right between, we like to call it the educational corridor. We're between the elementary schools and the middle school and high school.
I mean, that is prime location. Really, I just say it's at the corner of Division and Cedar, and you can't miss it. Can one go on to the website and get down all the hours for everything? Is that on the website?
Yes. Not the teen room yet.
Not the teen room yet.
So actually, we're going to be doing some revamping of the website again because it's you know, things have changed again. So we have so much to say, and that platform isn't exactly perfect for all the things we're doing now. So there's a lot in flux. So just keep checking back. We're adding stuff all the time. And yeah, you can check the Sandpoint or Clark Fork or Bookmobile hours. We're going to be getting the Bookmobile up and running again pretty soon. So you can find all that information out on our website. Again, it's www.ebonnerlibrary.org.
And real quickly, I know that while the renovation was going on, that the a monthly book sale and CD sale was discontinued. Now it's back up and running?
It's in full force, back up and running, thanks
and
to the Friends of the Library.
And you're accepting donations?
Yes. Yep. You can bring donations. We just ask people to call first because there are some things that we can't take sometimes if we have too much of a certain type of thing or whatever.
You mean my toaster oven? but we want to thank both of you. And will you please keep us in mind? So like right before you begin your drone course, which I just think, come on and give us enough lead time and we'll book some time with you to talk about, you know, that program and more teen programs. And of course, Marcy knows that she's always welcome. And if you can't, remember everything that she said. There is a every Friday. Is it every Friday?
Usually it's published every Friday.
I mean, there's a chunk of columns about, I mean, you'll take a step back and say, whoa, there's a lot going on there in the Bonner Bee on the Friday Bonner Bee. We want to thank you guys for coming in and good luck fighting your way through.
I'm not scared.
Okay. we're gonna as you exit out, we're going to play a song, and then we're going to have Paul Graves coming in from the Geezer Forum to talk why voting matters. This is the song that was number one for only 1 week in 1968, 50 years ago today, and I'm not going to say anything about it. When you hear it, you'll understand why it was only on number one for 1 week. That, of course, was Jeannie C. Riley, Harper Valley, PTA. And what's interesting about that song, okay, it was only number one for 1 week. And then the next number one song, we're going to have to really yoke it out because it's going to be number one for 2 months. I'm not going to tell you. Okay. I'm not going to tell you. All but right. The interesting thing about this song is that it was number one on the pop charts, Billboard pop charts, on this date in 1968. And it was also number one in country charts. Mm-hmm. And the next person to do that is going to be Dolly Parton in 1981 with 9 to 5.
Huh.
You know, so
yeah.
I don't know whatever happened to Jeannie C. Riley, if she had a follow-up or whatever. I don't think so, but this caught people's attention 50 years ago today.
Yeah, and only, I mean, yeah, 50 years ago today, and then it was another 13.
Are you looking her up? Are you looking her up?
I was going to look her up, yeah. Okay. But it was another, 13-odd years before somebody did that again, had another country hit. A country hit at number one.
Well, a woman. Mm. A woman.
Oh.
You know, okay. I'm quite sure that there was probably some other, Rhinestone Cowboy probably came in and other stuff like that. But in terms of, she was the first woman to have hit both the tops of the charts, and not until Dolly Parton again would that occur.
Huh.
Okay, we have in our studio, my microphone is not staying put. That just discombobulates.
Well,
me.
you can fix that, Jim. Here, let me turn you down if you want to fix it.
No.
Okay.
I'm in good shape. I'm Leave in it good up. Shape. We've got Paul Graves. Paul, how are you doing this morning?
Well, I'm alive and vertical.
Mm-hmm. And how Paul did good. How did you navigate your way through First Avenue?
I didn't.
You helicoptered in?
No. I parked over by the bank. On Second Avenue.
Well, as an ex-mayor and a longtime resident of, how does it feel to see First Avenue in disarray?
A little weird. I'm expecting it to look smoother and the infrastructure below working a lot better than it was. That's
the purpose of it. But aren't they supposed to resurface or tear it up and do like they did on Cedar next summer? They're going to do it to First?
Yeah, that's what I hear. So,
whoa.
Yes.
So this is a...
This is just the pipes underneath, if I'm not mistaken.
That's my impression too.
And then the top part is going to get done like on Cedar Street on First Avenue.
Sure.
And the trees will disappear and hopefully they will reappear.
I hope so, too.
Yeah. There's some beautiful hawthorn trees out there that are just...
Is that what they are?
The hawthorn. Ones that are pink with look just gloriously fabulous.
Yeah.
They're hawthorn.
I didn't know that.
And they're messy trees.
Uh-huh.
Do not park your car underneath a hawthorn tree in the spring.
Sure. There's yes, I know that pay. One.
But Paul is here to talk about what the Geezer Forum is going to be on September 25th, that would be next Tuesday, in the Columbia Bank Building. Paul, talk away.
Okay. We're doing basically, it's a special Geezer Forum. We've never, in the nearly 7 years we've been meeting, we've never done anything about voting. as it happens, this morning, the Daily Bee had my Dear Geezer column in, and also the same column is going to be appearing, or will appear in the Reader this morning as well.
Mm-hmm.
I've been Ben Olson was very gracious in allowing that to happen. It's just a one-time thing. But because as we're moving toward the general election in 7 weeks, it's important for us to talk about voting, but we're doing it a little different way next Tuesday. This is not a candidates forum, so we're not going to be talking with candidates. It's not an issues forum, so we won't be dealing with I think there are two ballot measures. It's a motivation forum. We're talking about why we vote matters. It's too important for us to not think about why we vote. You know, and every election is important, even if it's on a sewer district or a water district basis, city council, county, state, national. Those are every vote, every election matters. But if we take it, if we approach the elections superficially, then what we're going to get are superficial votes. Superficial, and sometimes if it's a position that is filled by a person, sometimes the right person doesn't get in because we don't take time to think about why we want to vote for a particular person. Sometimes, you know, I have some bias about this. I'm not going to be biased, or we are not going to be biased at the forum at all. But we're going to ask important questions about are we prepared to vote? Are we voting strictly on a bumper sticker that we see? Bumper stickers are thin, and so oftentimes is the message. There's not much depth to it. It appeals to an emotional reaction. Sometimes it's an emotional fear. Sometimes it's an emotional hope. But there's always more to what's going on in a candidate race or an issue race than a bumper sticker can hold. And so we're going to be talking next Tuesday afternoon about the kinds of things that motivate us to vote and likewise motivate us to not vote. We want to give equal opportunity to the people who are either with their own sense of integrity, not going to vote, or their own excuses for not voting. My column in this morning's papers touch on a few of those excuses. They're not reasons. They don't have much substance most of the time. Let me give you an example. I was talking with, in a conversation last week with somebody, and he said, you know, this is such a red state, and I usually vote blue. What's the point? And I used to think that too, because we've lived here for 30 years. Before that, we were in Lewiston for 8 years. So I've been in Idaho for almost 40 years. We're obviously predominantly politically conservative, particularly in this area. So what happens when somebody who has an alternate view of things feels so outnumbered? My working theory now is that we will stay overbalanced in the conservative perception of things if those who don't feel the same way just give up. But if those who want to vote blue or who think blue want to vote blue and do vote blue, I think both the red and the blue colors are going to be, or the voters are going to be surprised. There may be more blue voters that are around, but just don't, you know.
We become a purple state.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, having a one-party state or a one-party area, if it doesn't really serve either. I mean, you get that feeling like my vote doesn't matter either way,
right.
even if you favor the predicted outcome, you still feel like, well, it's, you know, they say it's going to happen anyway. Why does my vote matter? And you do tend to feel a little powerless, like, you know, the powers that be at the top end of the party can kind of, once the nomination is secured, can kind of ignore the will of the voting public if there's not some competition, some, you know, countervailing force at the polls.
You know, and that's true regardless of where we are. Just because we happen to be in a very conservative state, we're talking red, blue. A lot of other states are blue-red, mm-hmm. and those who are thinking red, who vote red, can feel the same way if they're feeling outnumbered, if they're feeling powerless. And the powerless thing may be the key. If we don't, in my column this morning, I start out talking about people who are powerless, older adults who don't feel as though they matter. And it's not just the voting, it's all kinds of things. But until they realize that their voice can be turned up in volume, whatever that means metaphorically, they're going to stay powerless. And when people discover that their voice can be heard by somebody besides themselves, that power imbalance is going to be maintained.
Yeah, I'd be sort of curious, Paul. This is with the Geezer Forum, and I'm sure there have been some studies, and I'm not familiar, and you might not be either, in terms of demographics of, let's say, different age groups and the percentage of the population, let's say, I'll pick a number, over 65, how many are eligible to vote, how many do vote? Because one of the points that you're working with is meeting together to explore the issues of aging, the relationship between voting and aging. Do people from 30 to 40 vote more than somebody who has, let's say, voted for 30 years and I'm not voting anymore? Because I'm thinking of in terms of, you know, as one ages, let's say, you know, voting is on November the 7th, you know, you might be homebound, you know, encouraging people to take absentee ballots, mm-hmm. That sort of thing. You know, that, in other words, you know I'm going to be out of town till November 5th, and I'm going to take out an absentee ballot because to get my life together between the next couple of days is going to be quite difficult. So I'm going to take an absentee ballot. You know, how to encourage people to participate in the process without necessarily, you know, I find as I age to mark myself down for a certain day. I don't know how I'm feeling. I might get out of bed and go, ooh, my back. Whoa, I don't think I'm going to leave the house today. Does right. that make sense?
Well, it does. I don't have age demographic figures. I wrote to the Idaho Secretary mm-hmm. of State mm-hmm. and got back some good information from their elections office, but they don't, my understanding anyhow, is that they don't keep track of those age demographics.
Ah, okay. Interesting.
I know that Charlie Worm at the county election office doesn't have them.
Okay.
And
he's going to be there on Tuesday.
He's going to be there on Tuesday with us and talk about the nuts and bolts of how to vote.
Perfect.
Yeah. The bigger question is why we vote. And that's, you know, and so we're going to be trying to deal with both of those things. But the I think it's safe to say that the patterns that have been seen in Idaho would suggest that the current number of people over 60, 65 mm-hmm, mm-hmm. have for much of their lives been voters.
Right.
And the you know, the gray hair and wrinkle vote is substantially higher than it would be for younger people.
Interesting.
Yeah. I do have an interesting couple statistics that I brought with me from mm-hmm. that Secretary of State business that I found a little bit revealing. That is, and this is more from a strategic observation standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
The just in 2016.
Okay.
In the state, in the primary of 2016, the number of the percentage of voting age population. That doesn't necessarily mean the registered voters.
Right.
But the percentage of voting age population people, 14.09% of all those who were eligible voted. That's pathetic.
That's in the primary, you said?
That's in the primary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, the percentage of registered voters who voted was almost 23%, 22.95%. Mm-hmm. Little better, but still pretty pathetic.
Yeah.
In the general election, it was better. And this seems to be the common practice. The primary vote percentages seem to be always lower. The number of percentage of voting age in the population who voted in the general was 59.07%. Considerably better than 14.9.
And 23.
Pardon?
And 23%, 14.9 overall, 23%.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's almost double.
The percentage of registered voters who voted was 75.91.
Mm-hmm.
That's so you can say on the one hand that Idaho voters really take the general election seriously, and yet only 76% of 23% of the registered voters vote. That's still a pretty pathetic number.
Yeah.
Now,
go ahead.
Okay. Mm-hmm. In Bonner County, in the primary, we had 22,393 people registered to vote. Those who voted were 32.6%. That's in 2016. Okay. In the general election, that bumped up so that the uh, 26.76% of the voting population voted. 80.7, or a little bit higher than the state average.
And the state average, yes.
Voted.
Okay.
I found this interesting, though. In the that 80.7% was this among the 44 counties in Idaho. That was the seventh highest percentage of vote. In the primary, we were 20th highest.
So there's a discrepancy between voting in the primaries and voting later on.
There is. And from a logical standpoint, or from one kind of logic anyhow, it seems weird that when there are more choices, there are fewer people voting.
Well, there's more you have to know about the different candidates or the issues. There's more, whereas if there's, let's say, two or three on a ballot,
mm-hmm.
It's easier.
It is easier, but also I think we're, as a state, not to mention as a county, we're shortchanging ourselves because the primary— it's called primary, not just because it's first, but because it's more basic.
Primary basic, you bet.
And if we don't vote in the primary, we're not giving ourselves, potentially anyhow, we're not giving ourselves the best candidates in the general. Only the ones who are who have developed some kind of a passionate following
More yard signs.
More yard signs. Yeah.
More visibility. One thing, if I can do a shameless plug for 88.5 KRFY, starting next Wednesday, the 26th, Susie and Chris are going to be every Wednesday candidates coming on to explain their positions at 8 o'clock in the morning. And this goes hand in hand with you said about learning about, knowing about what's being voted. But I cannot emphasize enough the importance of voting. And we're talking with Paul Graves with the Geezer Foreman. This is next Tuesday, the 25th, 2:30 to 4 in the Columbia Bank Community Room, Tango Cafe. Charlie Worm will be there, election supervisor, and Sean Keough and Ken Myers, citizens, to talk about voting.
And about why they vote,
okay,
and why they've had a long history of voting. I'm going to be sharing some of my own
perfect
experience perfect. Too.
Okay. Anything in concluding before we sort of slide on out and do a few community events, Paul?
I simply appreciate the opportunity to share with your listening audience the kind of importance or the level of importance that some of us. I wish more of us, but some of us feel that voting provides us not just for individuals, but for the betterment of the community, and that goes
absolutely
all the way from those smallest voting districts to the largest.
Well, you do a bang up job, let me tell you. And Paul Graves with the Geezer Forum. Plus, you can read about him in today's Monitor Bee. You can read about him in this week's Weekly Reader. Thank you so much.
Yeah. It is the Geezer Forum. Right. As somebody who doesn't remember when Harper Valley PTA came out, is it open to the general public?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. We have
on
any given day, you don't have to. Geezer is a word that means disguise. And so does, you know, a geezer, someone who is youthful, hopeful, in the disguise of gray hair and wrinkles.
Ah. And they have earned their stripes, Jack.
Yeah. But I can go.
But we have
in the back.
We have a pretty wide range of ages that could attend.
Is this the first time? Well, probably not. But Sean Keough, of course, was a long-serving state senator.
She's right? completing 20 years as a state senator.
Right. But she's down as a citizen here. She'll be talking just about. Her voting. I mean, voting as a citizen, not as a representative.
Right.
Okay. Well, anyway, shall we
play a short song? It's not very long, and then we'll do a couple community events. Thank you so much, Paul, and good luck navigating your way through the war zone.
I'm just going to avoid it. It's the best way to...
The pile of rocks. Absolutely. On this date in 1968...
73.
Oh, 73, you're right, you're right. 1973, Jim Croce was killed in an airplane wreck on his way from a concert in Louisiana to Sherman, Texas. And here's one of my favorite Jim Croce songs. I'll have to say, I love you in a song. Here on 88.5 KRFY, remembering Jim Croce.
This is 88.5 KRFY Ponderay. You are listening to The Morning Show. We're just about out of time. Jack and Jim saying thanks to Paul Graves for dropping by from the Geezer Forum. Earlier, Kimber and Marcy from the library. Kimber Glidden, the new teen services coordinator. That's the title we gave her here on the show. And Marcy Timlin, public relations, marketing, and community development from the East Bonner County Library. A couple events to mention. The big one for this radio station is today at 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock Rush is on, led by high school senior Ryan Baumgartner. Tune in and hear what the kiddies are listening to, folks. 3 o'clock Rush at every Thursday at 3 o'clock p.m. on 88.5 KRFY, right in the middle of the afternoon as the high school is leaving the parking lot, and then rebroadcast at 10 o'clock p.m. on Friday evenings. It's Souptember, 5 p.m. tonight in Farm and Park. 13 restaurants participate, live music, games, and fun. The Sandpoint Community Resource Center hosts the Souptember event at 5 p.m. in Farman Park tonight, September the 20th. Trivia takeover at the Pondre Winery. I'm going to see if I can't convince my girlfriend to go with me there because I never go on Tuesday nights. Won't You Be My Neighbor is playing at the Panada Theater. The Infant Lap Sit was mentioned earlier in the show at the Bonner County Library. And what else is going on? Pondre Arts Council presents a plain air journey through the eyes and brushes of five artists, exploring the area just beyond Sandpoint from 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. tomorrow night in Columbia Bank Community Plaza, free and open to the public. There is lots going on, but you're just going to have to check it out yourself by going to sandpointonline.org. They provide our community calendar. Now, stay tuned for Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long, and we'll have to pop in Bird Note after we play a quick Jethro Tull song. So, thanks for listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY, and tune in next week at 8 o'clock in the morning, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.